What's going on, fam? I am so grateful that you are joining us for today's message. I just got off stage and I came to let you know that this sermon is about to change everything. Today, we are talking about staying focused by putting death to distractions. I can't wait for you to hear this message. But before we go into today's message, I want to let you know this is going to be the best year of your life if it is the best year spiritually. And part of God's spiritual plan is that we live together in community. And we're starting tribes up at Transformation Church. And if you think you want to be a leader, yes, even online, like you can lead a group of people from all over the world together in community and to walk together, live together, pray together, and see God do something as you join your lives outside of a church context and allow you to be better because of community. If that's you, I want you to sign up, go to the website. And the other thing I want to let you know is in 2 weeks, it's our church anniversary. I'm inviting you. Me and Pastor Natalie have been pastoring for 10 years. I cannot even believe it. And we about to throw a party. And it's going to be February 2nd. And if you're out of town and you want to figure out a good Sunday to come join us, that's going to be a banger. I love you. I believe in you. And I want you to focus in. Shut out all the distractions. If you can't do that yet, don't worry. I'm going to teach you how to do it in this message. I'll talk to you after the sermon. Peace.
Amen. Well, today we are starting a brand new series simply entitled The Death to Distraction. You should be intimidated because in this series, I feel like it may be the most important series I've ever preached. If you get the principles within this series, the next 8 weeks, it will eliminate your delay. Most of the things that God desires to do is not an issue on his side. I'm gonna say it one more time because some of y'all think God's being slow. Most of the things that God desires to do in your life is not an issue, a problem, a defect on the side of the deity. It's usually something in us that has been disobedient. And I need us to be honest about where we are in the area of focus. Everybody say focus.
Focus.
Come on, say it with faith. Focus.
Focus.
Can we be hot, humble, open, and transparent? How many people have an area in your life that it's hard for you to focus? Come on, just come on. How many, put your other hand up if you have several areas that is hard. Okay, all right. Clap twice if there's not many areas you can't focus in. Okay, clap twice. Yep, thank you. And the others is lying. The reason I'm trying to bring us all to the same place because this message series is not for your neighbor. This one's for you. And so today, as we walk through literally just the intro, I was in the back going through with the team what I was about to preach, and they was like, that's like 4 weeks right there. Slow down, calm down, let them get it. And so today, it's just the introduction of the concept of how we are going to put to death the things that are distracting us and taking us away from, shout the word of the year, focus. And so, as we come into today's message, I don't want to just set a framework for this message. I want to set a framework for the year. Because if we don't set a framework for the year, at some point in March, you're going to get off focus. If I don't set a framework for the whole year, sometime in the summer, we're going to throw off restraint. And so instead of just the word of the year, which the word of the year at Transformation Church is, say it with faith. Focus. God gave me a scripture of the year. And my prayer is by the end of this year, every person under the sound of my voice would know this by heart. You wouldn't need to pull up the YouVersion to say this one. This would be a scripture that you hide in your heart. And this scripture that talks about our focus is Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1 and 2. We're going to say it together. And since it's the first time we're saying, we're going to try something different. Would everybody stand up for me real quick? Come on, just stand up. In the old school church, we used to stand for the reading of God's word. Now, I ain't no more power in standing. You could do it sitting, but I'm doing this for the old school saints to remind you where we came from, all right? All right, I'm going to put it, yeah, read. No, everybody's going to read, okay? I'm going to put it on the back of the screen, and we're going to try to do something that is very difficult to do with this many thousands of people. So I'm going to conduct you, but I want us to read this scripture together. Let's see how this goes, because if it don't go good today, then from now on, I'm going to read it, okay? Everybody say, together, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Here it is. Fixing our eyes. Focus. Fixing our eyes. Say it with me. Focus. I'm going to fix my eyes and focus on what? On Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We did it, y'all. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. You may be seated. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, for the rest of the year, we're going to say that every week. And you could go ahead and make this easy, and you should read this and try to memorize it every single day. Because I just gave you the answer to all of your distractions before we take the next test. How do you get your distractions to no longer put you on the path of a detour? You fix your eyes, focus on Jesus. Write it down in a point. Fixing your eyes on Jesus gives you the faith to focus. I'm so distracted. I bet you're not looking at Jesus. No, I'm literally, anytime in your life where distraction is dominating you, I promise you, the fixed focus is not Jesus. Think about it. Think about your worst season. Think about the season where you didn't feel like yourself. Think about the season where it felt like the enemy was just running over you and things were coming from the left and the right and all that other stuff. It was a conglomeration of a lot of things, but one thing it wasn't was a fixed focus on Jesus. And if you could decide that my answer is to fix my eyes, I would be able to stay distraction free from the things that try to entangle me. Remember what that scripture said. We have to set aside every weight. A weight is a distraction. A weight is that relationship you keep trying to make work. A weight is that image you keep trying to keep up. A weight is actually saying not how you feel and making people feel like you all right when there's really an issue that you won't confront. The reason we know the weight is a distraction because he said, I want you to run your race. And no runner is trying to run his race with more weight on them. Y'all know at the Olympics, they be in the smallest little draws. Everybody in draws, y'all know what I'm talking about. They in the thinnest little spandex draws because even micro small cotton sweats would be a weight. And the weight would be a disadvantage for them running their race. And God's saying, I want you to put off distractions so you can run this race. And so that means I gotta fix my focus. Somebody say, fix my focus. Oh, this gonna be so good. This gonna be so good. This gonna be so good. Everybody say, fix my focus. How am I gonna make it through this school year? Fix my focus. How am I gonna raise these kids even though their daddy's a fool? Fix my Because at some point, you can't change anybody else. I wish you could get this one for real. At some point, the thing that frustrates you that has been an excuse, you can no longer do anything to change that. You have to take responsibility for where you are, what's happening, and you need to fix your focus on Jesus. I'm gonna make it through this traumatic situation that I'm going through right now where I'm grieving and there's a bunch of loss and I can't tell up from down. I'm gonna fix my focus. And that's why I need everybody to know, because right now people are looking and listening to this and be like, yeah, they are distracted by that. Oh, I saw, oh my God, how they distracted by that. All of us have a distraction somewhere. And so I need you to understand this point right here. All distractions are different, but they all have the same answer. Your distraction may be resources and finances, but the answer to be able to not drown in debt is to fix your focus on Jesus. Pastor Mike, how practical is that? God talks about finances and money and what to do with it so much in the Word of God, but most of us are looking to gurus who do not value the principles that you said that you were gonna live by in the kingdom. And so you're putting your money in stuff and not honoring God first. And he said, if you would fix your focus on me and what I said, somebody say, fix it.
Fix it.
You never met somebody who has a bad attitude. And it's a time to be happy. And sometimes an old auntie will come by and just say, fix it. They won't even look at you for real. They won't even do it. Fix it. I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying to some of y'all who is like, are they my husband? Are they my husband? Are they my... Somebody shout at me, fix it. Fix it. Is that the business? Is that the business? Is that the business? Fix it. He'll whisper a witty invention and idea to you. I'd be watching Shark Tank sometimes being like, God, what's up? The scrubby dub thing with the smile. Y'all ever seen that thing? It's a little sponge. It's a sponge. It's a sponge with a smile and a thing. God, why not me? But many times we're looking for something. When God said, if you would get in my face, if you would petition heaven more, if you would come to the one who is and will be to come, if you get to me. Somebody shout at me one more time, fix it. That's why 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that our distractions are not new. It says the temptations or distractions in your life are no different from what others have experienced. So sorry to bust your bubble. Your distraction doesn't make you special. Your distraction makes you human. What you gonna do with it? Can I say this? Some of our distractions, watch this, aren't bad. They're just not him. Because some of y'all are thinking, yeah, alcohol and drugs and da-da. No, your kids. But these mom kids, they were his kids before they were your kids. It says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. You waited 9 months to see what they was looking like. He was already making portraits of them. Can I be serious with you? Some of your distraction is ministry. You will pray for somebody and not be patient with them. And what God is saying to you is, you are being distracted by the function. I don't know what your distraction is today. But if it is out of priority and God is not your focus, it is time to have a funeral for the distractions in your life. And before we go to the funeral, God's requiring you to actually put it to death. See, this is the moment that you understand what an altar is. Everybody talks about God changed me at the altar. The altar is the place where things die. An altar is not the place. Even when you think about marriage, the reason they call it an altar is because it's supposed to be the death of the individual. And it's supposed to be a new life happening through a covenant that is made by those two people. The two shall become one. It can't be three of y'all because the other two should have died. And it was saying, this is not a part of my message. But anytime you hear the altar, think not sweet, somber music. When you think of altar, blood. Death. No more. And it was usually in the Bible a sacrifice to God. What does it look like for you to bring the thing that has been taking away your focus and you put it on the altar before God in the first month of 2025 and you say, God, I'm not just gonna tell you to take it, I'm gonna kill it. Because most of us want our distraction to be kidnapped. You don't want to kill it. You just want to be gone for a season. Till I get strong enough to handle it. And then they don't have no power over me. I'm a strong in the Lord. Until you're right back. Somebody say fix it. Yeah. That's why the Bible is telling us your distraction ain't different than any distraction anybody's ever had. It might be in HD now. It may be more magnified. It might be technology might help it a little bit. But the same distraction you have, everybody can experience that. And it says, and God is faithful. The temptation in your lives are no different from what others experience. And God is, what is he? Faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. That means as a believer, you never can fall into a temptation. Because he said he never lets you be tempted above what you can withstand. So if you ever fall to your distraction, you just. This is why I'm trying to help you. If you ever say, she just asked me too many times. She just asked me too many. Oh my God. I did not have to fall. I just got tired of standing. And too many believers are in a place where they feel like, I've been standing for purity for 7 years, God, and I'm ovulating, and he look good. Y'all better help me in this place, and I don't know what's going on, and this one is extra strong and wear cologne and can cook, and Lord, he be posting scriptures, and God. He got muscles, and you. He said, if you fall, though, you decide it. He said, this one is still not more than you can withstand. Think about the things you said just happened. Think about the things that you said, I mean, it was one time. He said that our God is, somebody shout at me, faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. So when you are tempted, he will always show you a way. Somebody shout out. He'll always show you. Every time I'm tempted, because he is faithful. This is character right now. He said, God is what? Faithful. He'll never tempt you more than you can withstand. So when you get tempted, he'll always show you a way out. So when I read this scripture, I just thought about all the times I didn't see the way out. Oh, y'all gonna leave me up here by myself? It was like, I thought I looked around. I didn't see nothing. But then when I began to look deeper, I found out I was so distracted by what I had already decided. Oh my God. Many times when God provides a way out, we're so distracted by what we've already. I wouldn't even be here if I wasn't gonna do it. And that's when knock, knock, knock. Are they gone? That was your way out. Yeah, you walk back in there. Lock, double lock it, double lock it. Why didn't you see the way of escape? Maybe because it wasn't your focus. Because if somebody was kidnapping you, the only thing you would be looking for under different circumstances, you would be looking for any moment. Did they crack the window? Did they go to leave the... Can I dig through this concrete floor? You would do impossible things. Have y'all heard of people like digging out of jail cells with a spoon and stuff like that? Do you know how many years that would take? All my prison people watching, don't do that, okay? No go. God is going to restore you in a different way. But what I'm saying, we got a broad audience, y'all. That's my people, okay? Shout out to everybody in the penitentiary. God's going to transform your life. But what I'm saying to you is in a different situation, you're always looking for a way. Yet when it's a temptation and a decision and a distraction we chose, we don't see it. Mm-hmm. So Pastor Mike, what are you trying to tell me? If you don't get nothing else, get this point right here. Your distraction is your decision. Nobody told me this. Nobody told me that everything I'm distracted by, I decided to be distracted by it. Your distraction is your decision. I need you to hear me say this, because until you take ownership, you will always farm out blame where you could actually change the course of your life through confronting something that is not like you wanted in your life. The first step to deliverance is acceptance. I chose this. Them amens is getting weak. The reason why is because the repeats of the relationship, nobody forced you into that. You keep deciding to get the bad boy that kind of love God and play an instrument on the side. That is a rough combination. And you've been to four states. One was in high school, now you're 40. Same thing. You decided. You decided to accept poverty. I didn't say you decided to be born into it. But after you came of the age where you understood what was happening to you, some of us decided to keep signing up for Section 8, start a business on the side, not report our income, and actually live because I can get my house for $600. And okay, that's all right. It's too much. I get it. I understand. But you can't ask God to bless you and you still decide to be distracted by poverty. Some of y'all decided to be greedy. You have set up in your heart to have a hard heart and be judgmental. And as soon as somebody comes in looking like you used to look in a different season when we didn't know you, you automatically project on them who you were and don't give them the grace that you needed. And so you begin to push back on them. Look at that spirit, that Jezebel spirit and that. No. You decided to be what turns you into you. Instead of being somebody that can transform them and help show them along the way how to transform and change. Whatever your distraction is, you decided it. That substance, you decided. Think about it. At this point, whose fault is it? I know this is strong. But let me give you some encouragement. Because this is the year that we're going to put a death to distraction. The reason why I'm so aggressive on this is because you can't live another year in the same decisions that you've been living in. There's got to be a break. I feel that thing right now. There's got to be something that chops off the head of the enemy in your life. There has to be something that says not another year, not another month, not another day. I'm going to put death to this distraction because it's cost me too much. I will not be delayed. Somebody shout at me, I will not be delayed. But if you won't own the fact that I chose the distraction, some of y'all so bent out of shape about TikTok being gone. I mean, y'all hurt. You didn't grieve like this when your uncle died. This. I see more posts, they having funerals, they doing all kinds of stuff for an app that has been a distraction. Some of y'all should shout because you just got your life back. Some of y'all should shout because now you got time to make the business plan. You've been broke so long watching other people do feud reviews that you didn't do what God told you to do. But I'm telling you, I'm putting death to distraction. Let me calm down. The Holy Spirit gave some of y'all a head start on the plan that he has for your life. Because he knew you were addicted. And some of y'all are having, watch this, withdrawals. Oh my gosh. You gonna see it in the next few days. People gonna open MySpace back up. Black Planet on the way. Oh, they laying down distractions. Y'all didn't see it? They came, somebody go get a trash can. They said, I'm not gonna wait until Monday night. We've been laying down distractions all week. Oh, somebody else came from out of town. They said, I'm laying down distractions. I'm laying down distractions. Y'all better praise with me. Not another year, not another day. I'm laying down distractions because I'll have the faith to focus. All right, here we go. And just for anybody else, if you need to lay anything else down, you can come on and bring it to the altar, okay? We're not waiting. This ain't a formula. This is not something we trying to be pretty in front of people. We gonna get delivered in this place. There's gonna be freedom in the house of God. Yep. Go on, throw it in there, Jay. Go on, throw it in there. Go on, throw it in there. Come on, go on, throw it in there. Go on, throw it in there. Come on. Yeah. He throwing that vape in there. He said, no more of this vape taking away my life. I'm putting the death to the distraction. Just keep it right here in the front. Just keep it right in the front. Yeah, come on. Come on. She said, I'm throwing it away. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. Come on, put the cigarettes in there. It's a done deal. Come on, put it in there. This is where the church shouts. This is where believers make a decision. This is where we say, not another day. Enemy, you're under my feet. Yep. There's more people coming. You might as well believe with them and shout with them. He said, I'm not going to let my life be destroyed by a vape. Hey, listen. There's about 10 people that came right now this past week. People came and gave weed, pills. They came and gave alcohol. They came and laid down jerseys, items, witchcraft. There's a whole skeleton. Somebody came. Y'all don't hear me. And they threw it. They said, no longer will I be distracted. If you got anything that you need to write down, you can write their name. Come on, sis, write it down. Rip it up. Tell them it's over. It's a done deal. Glory to God. Y'all better shout with her. All right. So now I need you to understand that there's power in your decision. Okay? You want deliverance? Deliverance starts with a decision. And so now I want you to understand, because decision, people focus on the action of the decision, the outcome of the decision, the outward manifestation of the decision. But I want you to understand and dissect a decision so that you can understand the power that you have, okay? And write this point down. The power of a decision is in the process of your decision. No decision just happens. There's a decision that everybody sees, but there was a process that nobody sees except you. And most time we'd be like, I just did it. No, you didn't. It just happened. No, it didn't. I was there and then I was here. I want to give you, I want to expose the enemy. I want to give you revelation, reveal truth. I want to pull the cover back on how you can actually capture and understand where you are in your decision-making process so you can then fix your eyes on Jesus. So watch this. The process of a decision, it's three parts. It's first heart, then it's head, then it's hands. Every decision you make first starts in your heart, then it percolates up in your head, and then it comes out in your hands. So when you're making a decision, the first time you thought they was fine, that dropped in your heart. You didn't just go up to them and start French kissing them. What it did, it started in your heart. Look at that. God bless. He did, didn't he? And then when you get lonely and you're on Instagram and they have a wife or a husband, but you still looking, you start replacing the pictures in your head. And then 2 weeks later, they give you a hug and you're just like, oh my God, why did they hug me like, excuse me, sir. And they're not even thinking anything about it. It's like, man, oh, thank you so much for opening the door for me. But in your head, I'm married. No, I'm trying to tell y'all how stuff happens. I'm being extreme, but I'm being serious. And it can percolate and ruminate in your head for minutes, seconds, or decades. So sometimes it doesn't take, oh yeah. No. That seed was planted in your heart years ago. And many times it won't even come out around the people it was planted with. Many times the seed gets planted in one season. And because we don't pluck it out of our heart, it goes to our thoughts. And every season and every time, and we just start thinking about it. And eventually when the circumstances become either desperate enough or secret enough, it comes out in an action. So what I want you to identify is, where is the distraction in process right now? Is the distraction just in your heart? Because you can come up here and praise, you can lead us in worship, you can prophesy, and nobody will see the distraction that is getting roots in your heart. Right now, some of y'all need to pluck. Y'all need to get y'all hoe. And not hoe, like... Some of y'all need to pluck them hoes. You need to get them out of your heart. Sometimes the Lord needs to say it the way you need to hear it. I was going to say a hoe and a shovel, but... Gardening tools, guys, okay. But it hit somebody's heart. Somebody was like, my God. It's time to go gardening. There's some of y'all, there's things been planted in your heart. I'm never gonna treat my kids like that. And that thing has been planted in your heart so long. And you don't know what type of kids you're going to have. And you don't know what type of situation it is. And because the seeds of discontentment and punishment are in there because it's what you experienced and you never brought that thing to the Lord and actually give it to him and allow him to change you from the inside out, it's still got a hint of resentment and anger and frustration and damage on it. And so when it grows and your kids come out and you say, I'll beat your, I ain't do it yet. But I'm thinking about it. And at one time, I'm just trying to show you if you don't catch it and take captive every vain imagination that would exalt itself against the knowledge of who God has created you to be. So where's your distraction right now? Is it in your heart? Is it in your head? Or is it already in your hand? A parenting thought is that every great parent knows it's more important that you understand why your kid did it than what they did. The reason being is because if you can locate why they made the decision, you can potentially flip and turn this thing into something that actually changes their destiny. But many times, because we haven't dealt with our own situation, we just focus on what they did. And we're dealing with the decision and we're not talking about the heart posture,
the thinking, and then the action. So today I'm just asking you, where's the distraction? Is it internal? And then does it go to your intellect and then become an interaction? Write this down as a point. We're about to go home. Addressing the action will change your day, but dissecting the reason for the decision will change your destiny. If we just addressed what the end result was, that's why a lot of times when people come to church, they're like, I'm a sinner. We all are. But not like me, I've done the wrong things. Yeah, we've done it too. I need to be changed by God. That's happening all the time. But the reason many people revisit the same car crash is because they never go and deal with the thing that's in their heart that keeps growing up. I'm at this same scene all the time. And it is my decision. I chose to do that. I chose to do that. I chose to do that. And everybody's like, don't do that. We're going to pray and rebuke that spirit. We're going to... No, stop. Look at me. What's in your heart that needs to actually be dealt with? Because you keep making the same decision. You keep making the same decision. But is it insecurity that was planted there at 13 when you tried to do something and people laughed at you? And so you decided I'll never be laughed at again. And you found out that you had this one gift and talent. And so you've shrunk back everything else God wanted to do in your life because you was just going to give them. We need to go to the everybody say root. And if we can get a hold of your decision, we can get a hold of your destiny. Very good. Yeah. So today in the intro,
of this message, we set our frame as Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, fixing our focus on Jesus. Our foundation for the next 7 weeks is going to be Hebrew 12. So I want you to know that we're fixing our focus, but we're going to, just for a case study, this is where I'm going to leave you. I'm going to introduce you to our case study for today. And we're going to pick up in his story next week. But I need to leave you with this one thing. We're going to go to the book of Judges, and we're going to talk about this character named Samson. A man who is known for his relationship with distraction. Distraction cost him everything. Even after God placed his hand, anointing and approval, what does that mean? You can be called and distracted. You can move in the mighty power of God and be distracted.
Very good, very good.
And anytime I say the name Samson, what's the other name that goes with it?
Delilah.
What's the other name?
Delilah.
Today I came to be a lawyer for Delilah.
Come on.
Today I would like to present to the jury that Samson had issues before she came into the picture. I would like to submit to the court the title of my message. Y'all get ready. The decision before Delilah. What if I told you that Samson's distraction and his known destruction was the culmination of years of making poor decisions? What if I tell you that your life is not just that one job who didn't see your worth, not giving you a promotion? What if it's not just this big cataclysmic failure? What if our distractions were actually wrapped up in small, daily, micro decisions? Next week, I'm going to start taking you through Samson's story, because I believe there's revelation in how we have to guard ourselves from things that feel familiar. Because the faith to focus actually comes from us not becoming familiar with things that God said are nowhere a part of our destiny. Let me give you just one thing about him. See, Samson's mom was not able to have kids. She was barren. And she was praying, and the angel of the Lord came to her. Ooh, this story gonna be so good for you understand how to put death to your distraction and what happens if you don't. So she prayed to God. The angel of the Lord, the Bible says in Judges, came to her. Judges 13, if you want to study up. He came to her and said, you're gonna have a child, but we need to make a deal. This child belongs to God. This child is gonna have super strength. But he has to take the Nazirite vow. And she said, whatever you want to do. She said, tell this baby that it can have no contact with strong drink. Nothing from a grape. No raisins, no alcohol, no wine, because that's how it was fermented back then. It can have no unclean thing to eat, which would have been pork back in the day. So no alcohol, no bacon. Okay, so some of y'all struggling right there. No bacon? Oh my God, I put bacon on everything. Okay, no alcohol, no bacon, no contact with any dead thing. No contact. Boy, that can preach just by itself. Why you keep touching it? It's dead. Some of y'all keep calling what's dead. Some of y'all keep believing for what is dead. This Nazirite vow, touch no dead thing. And the last thing is, don't cut his hair. And this young man has an encounter several times with distraction and makes the wrong decision before Delilah. Way before he ever met the thing that would take him down, he already decided he wasn't going to withstand and take the way of escape. The reason I have to bring this up is because when God gave him the Nazirite vow, the same way that God asked many of you, don't watch that, don't go there, don't talk to them, turn your bedtime. It's bedtime. It's bedtime for you. Some of y'all, this is prophetic. It's bedtime. Yes. It's 8:45. I'm a grown person. 9:30, you turn into a different person. It's bedtime. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's bedtime for you. The reason why God many times puts boundaries on things is because he's trying to make you holy. And I don't want you to think holy, holy, holy. That word means set apart. He said, I've called you for something. Like he called Samson for something, and he's saying, I need you to do these things that do not seem familiar to everybody else, but it's the thing that I'm hiding your power within. So I need you to be set apart. So we might not be at that, and we might not go to that, and we might not talk about that, and we might not eat that, and we might not be doing what y'all are doing, because I am set. And because God was trying to set him apart the way I believe he's trying to set many of you apart in this year of 2025. That's why he made the word of the year what? Focus. Focus on what I'm saying. Forget what the economy is doing. Forget what TikTok is doing. Forget what all of this stuff. Focus on what I'm saying. The reason why you have to understand this is important because God always hides blessings inside of boundaries. God always puts blessings inside of boundaries. As I end today, I want to tell you a story about young Michael Todd in high school. When God set a boundary around my life in Edison High School. And I was in Edison High School in my 9th grade year. And the Holy Spirit told me that I needed to stop eating meat at lunchtime in my school. And this was the year they started serving Mazzio pizza at my school. I was fat back then and very hungry. I'm just telling you a real story. And I remember telling my mom and a couple of other people, you remember this, Mom? And I just said, I know I'm not supposed to, I just feel like God's telling me. It wasn't a youth group thing. It wasn't a call from the church. I was in 9th grade. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to stop eating meat at lunch. He was trying to do something in my heart. And literally for the entire 9th grade year, all I ate for lunch was French fries. Now, there were mounds of French fries. I want you to know that I wasn't hungry. French fries, ranch, cheese, ketchup. People would just come and dump their fries on my plate. Like, it was a blessing. But at the same time, I wasn't losing calories. I was being set apart for my calling. He was trying to see in an environment where nobody in my school was fasting. Nobody, there was nobody doing. And God said, would you do what is unusual to live a life that is unusual? Will you give up the distraction of what everybody else is doing to obey what I'm asking you to do? And I'm telling you, I can't tell you when it happened, what happened, because I did a lot of stupid stuff even after fasting. But I'm telling you, a process started in me of sanctification, where God was making me into his image because I decided I was going to try to be focused on him. And when I look at
the thought of Samson doing what God asked him to do. He was giving him boundaries because he wanted to protect a blessing for him. If you could stop looking at the boundaries that God's given you as some type of shackle, and you actually look at it as protection, it would change the way that you view how God is trying to set you apart. Everybody's standing all over this place. Next week, I'm gonna preach a message called Every... No, I'm not gonna tell you the title yet. Just come back to next week, because I'm gonna wanna preach it. But I'm telling you, it's gonna change your life. This doorway is gonna make sense next week, because I'm gonna give you the ability to take ownership of your decisions. Thank you, Lord, that today is the beginning of us putting death to our distractions. But our distractions have been our decision. So today, we're asking you to help us change our decisions. Would you lift your hands all over this place? God, there's a bunch of people with different distractions, me included, that today you have given me power by your Holy Spirit to make a different decision. Thank you, Father God, that a decision can get me into it, and a decision can get me out of it. Fixing our focus on Jesus. Today, Father, where my focus has not been you, would you show me how to lay down on the altar my distractions, and not just kill them metaphorically, but actually sacrifice them to you. Whether that means I gotta change my number, whether that means I gotta delete apps, whether that means I have to have a hard conversation, I have to schedule therapy, whether that means, Father God, I have to literally work somewhere else. God, I'm asking you, let this be the year, the month, the week, the day, that distraction no longer leads me to destruction. I pray, Father God, that we would stop blaming the Delilahs in our life when it's been our decisions. Father, your word says you give us both the desire and the power to do what pleases you. So thank you, Father, that that scripture comes alive on the inside of every one of your children today. And that you give us the authority as well, Father God, as the courage to be like these people who came and gave up things that represented weights that so easily would detour us and distract us. Today, God, we are fixing our eyes, fixing our focus on you. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. If you're under the sound of my voice and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, whether you're in this room, you're watching at home, you're currently incarcerated, you're watching this on rebroadcast, I believe the Holy Spirit has been drawing you to this moment right here. If you're in this room, I need you to begin to pray. Because people's eternities and lives are on the line by one decision. You know how powerful a decision is? We come to faith by a decision. All of of our eternity is secured by a decision. And today, I'm so proud of you, sis. Today, you can make a decision. If you want to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, whether you're in this room or you're watching online, on the count of three, I just want you to lift your hands. As people are surrendering things, they said, I'm not walking out of here with this distraction. You can do the same thing, but you gotta let it start in your heart. The action is great. The thoughts are great. But let God take over your heart. He's the only one that if you give him your heart, he'll help you change your habits. Today, you've come to the right place, the hospital for humanity. And today, I want you to give your life to Jesus. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Number two, your name, your eternity is going to be secure. You're going to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Three, lift your hands if you want to give your life to Jesus all over this place and in the room. I see you in the back. I see you. I see you right there. Anybody else? Come on, I see you, brother. If it's just for you, I see you, sister. Listen, I see you right there. There are hands up. And if you're watching online, just put your hand up in the chat. Today, if it's one person, which there were several in this room, that are making a, somebody say decision. Today, God's going to transform your life. At Transformation Church, nobody prays alone. We a family. So would you just lift your hands and say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. Today, I admit I'm a sinner and I need you to be my Savior. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again just for me. Here's my life. Take over. Use me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, can we celebrate all over this place? Oh, come on, y'all. This is the decision that changes everything.
This is the year that we're putting death to distraction. It's first going to start in your heart, then he's going to transform your mind, and then it's going to come out in your hands or your actions. I am so grateful that you watched today's message, and I am praying that God does something so transformative in your life. Listen, we only have 7 days left of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I want you to join us. Tomorrow night and all this week, we're going to be praying, and I believe that God is going to continue to put death to our distractions. And if this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I want you to do two things. I want you to pray and ask God, are you supposed to help us get this to more people? Because if you are, you could sow a seed that allows us to get this into the prisons and be there when people are in need and actually be the church. I want you to do that. And you can go online to do that. And if not, would you please share this message with at least three people? You could text it to them, you could share, you can literally sit them down with you and watch it. But I believe transformation comes from people inviting us into a space where we can have our lives transformed. Until next week, go out and live. Hold on, do not miss next week's sermon, because I'm gonna teach you how to get control of your distractions. Until next week, go out and live a transformed life.